Welcome to the Creative Pen Podcast. I'm Joanna Penn, thriller author and professional speaker, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options and marketing ideas for your book. You can find the episode show notes, your free Author 2.0 blueprint and lots more information at thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and it is the first week of September 2013, and this is episode 165 of the podcast. So this episode is a little early, hot on the heels of a last episode, as I will be cycling through India, well not the whole of India, Tamil Nadu and Kerala for the next couple of weeks. So this should keep you going in the meantime. You will no doubt hear a bit about it on my return. And if I don't return, it was likely one of those massive Tata trucks with all the cool decoration on the front. But no, seriously, I'm not worried about it. And the trip's going to be awesome. And since I went to India back in few years ago now, and Varanasi became the opening scene in Pentecost, my first thriller, because it made such an impression on me, I've wanted to go back. So India is one of the countries I constantly want to return to. You know, many people do say, you know, you either fall in love with India or you hate it, and I'm one of those people who loves it. So I'm cycling every day in the hope that I can offset the amount of food I will eat, because I love Indian food. So anyway, very excited about my holiday. I'm also going on a I won't be checking email or Twitter or anything. I'm basically going digital free for 2 weeks. This will be the first time in almost 5 years I have gone 2 weeks without the internet. So I'm really interested in that as an experiment. I'm hoping that I won't lose all the momentum I've built up for 5 years. I think there's a little bit of a concern there, and you know, we become so plugged in to digital, which is quite scary. I did actually remove email from my phone a while back, and that's been fantastic. I've started to take digital Sabbaths, you know, as in when I don't check email at all, sort of for the weekend, that type of thing. So I've been moving towards this, but now it's going to be basically no email, no internet, full stop, for 2 weeks. And part of the reason to do that is also to give me some time to think without kind of constantly doing. I love to do, so it'd be good to just to think. And I'm filling up my Kindle with all these books I'm going to read, and I'm not going to pressure myself over writing. I'm just going to kind of soak up the atmosphere, and very likely there'll be a book in it somewhere, or at least some scenes or some ideas. So I'm really excited about having a time away. But today on the podcast, I'm getting so excited about my trip. Today on the podcast, very exciting as well. I'm interviewing Patrick Brown of Goodreads, all about how authors can use Goodreads more effectively. And I've been on Goodreads as a reader for a couple of years, from like 3 years, and I post reviews for books and rate them and everything. And but in the last couple of weeks, since I've known I was going to do this interview, I've been looking at it further, and really trying to use bookshelves, because the recommendation algorithm, I have found, works really well when you group together your what you've read into bookshelves, and then it basically looks at those and adds that as another data point. So sort of, you know, my psychology, things I shelve under psychology versus what you shelve under psychology, it can really help the algorithm. And one of the tips I've read is that you should have a shelf per genre that you write in, and most likely that you read in as well. So I've been really enjoying Goodreads, actually. And you know, part of me would really just like to give up Facebook and replace it with Goodreads. So you never know, I might end up doing that. I am intending to really consider how I go forward into 2014 in the next while I'm away, because the blog is 5 years old this December, and I've been full time for 2 years in the next couple of weeks. So I will let you know my thoughts on all of that, but I'm really assessing, you know, my feelings around that topic. just on that, actually, a really brilliant post on chriswrites.com. So Christine Catherine Rush, who is just fantastic, she writes a series called The Business Rush, and Rush is spelled R-U-S-C-H, A Career Versus Publication. I really reckon you should read that. She talks about the difference in, you know, a career writer versus a kind of, she calls it a one book writer, or people who chase, you know, chase the spike success, I guess, versus people who are doing this for a career. And it really helped me consider, you know, my level of seriousness about this. I consider myself very serious about being an author as a career, but she is someone who's been doing it for, I think, 40 years. It is an amazing resource. So please do check out chriswrites.com, K-R-I-S-Writes.com, and the Business Rush series. Absolutely brilliant. Just on Goodreads as well, you know, you can connect with me by searching for Joanna Penn, or you can look at the link on the Creative Penn sidebar, because I'm really, you know, I really do like Goodreads. Very cool. In other news, One Day in Budapest is getting some good reviews, although I think I've realised that August is a terrible time to do anything. A lot of people did say this to me. You know, August is just a write-off in general for a lot of people. So I don't have kids, so August is just another month. It does not school holidays or anything. But yes, apparently August is a terrible time and most people are away. So there you go. But other than that, One Day in Budapest is doing, you know, getting some good reviews, and I'm going to relaunch, like do a relaunch and some promotion, like, you know, put something on BookBubble, one of those promotion sites, in October and give it another little push, I think. I was out the other night with a producer, film producer, asking questions, like, you know, asking questions about treatments and one pages, and because I'm really interested, I have for a while been interested in the screenwriting and how things get translated to film and TV, because I'm a very visual person, and when I write, I actually think in scenes like movies or like TV. So I'm really interested in that process. Desecration, my, I guess, crime, horror, thriller something novel, is currently with a film agent as well, you know, looking at TV drama kind of material. So I'm sort of nudging into this area and starting to learn about the language around screenwriting and film, and, you know, words like treatment and, you know, that type of thing. And it's absolutely fascinating, but it's like a whole, it's like a big looming thing that I kind of concerned about jumping into entirely, because I don't want to take my focus away from writing books, but equally I think it's, you know, I keep coming back to it, so we'll see, we shall see. But when this producer, who hopefully I will get on the podcast next year, you know, he suggested, oh, just come to Cannes, you know, you just come to Cannes and you hang out at a party and you talk to people. And I'm sitting there going, you know, this introvert author would not survive very well at Cannes at a party. But there you go. We shall see. Yeah, if any of you are interested in that whole screenwriting thing, I will hopefully be doing some stuff on that in 2014. Right. The podcast is now sponsored by Kobo Writing Life, which is a fantastic self-publishing platform for getting your books on Kobo devices, of which in the last week they've announced a whole load more, which is very cool. So here's a word from our sponsor about the opportunities for independent authors in the US market specifically.
Hey, Creative Pen listeners, this is Christine Monroe. I'm the US manager for Kobo Writing Life. I'm really excited to be ramping up our partnership with the American Booksellers Association. I'm starting with organizing events at local bookstores and bringing in local independent authors. So please head on over to KoboWritingLife.com, where you can find out all the latest news on this project. And I hope you can join me at an event at a local bookstore near you. Thanks for listening. I'll hand it back over to your host, Joanna.
Everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from the creativepen.com, and today I'm here with Patrick Brown. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Joanna. Thanks for having me.
No worries. So just as a bit of an introduction, Patrick is the Director of Author Marketing and Community Manager at Goodreads, the world's largest site for readers and book recommendations. All very exciting. So Patrick, for anyone who might still not know, can you explain Goodreads a little more?
Sure. We like to call ourselves the world's largest site for readers and book recommendations. We're more than 20 million members now. And those people come to our site to keep track of what they're reading. So they shelve books that they're either reading right now, they've read in the past, or they're interested in reading in the future. And they can then write reviews of those books. They can see what their friends are reading and join online book clubs, get recommendations from our proprietary recommendation algorithm. And it's really become a site that readers are using to discover new books to read. I think that tends to be why people are coming to Goodreads. They are, you know, in many cases, they're avid readers, so they're coming, you know, because they're literally exhausting the number of books, you know, like that they can find out about through other channels. And, you know, and then obviously they're coming to share their opinions as well. So,
Yeah. And I mean, I've been on Goodreads as a reader for a few years. And in fact, only since we arranged this interview have I actually made more of an effort. And there is more going on in Goodreads than people think. So, for example, can you talk about that recommendation system? Because I only discovered bookshelves like last week. what are some of the things that people might not know?
Sure. Well, don't feel bad. I mean, it's a very, in tech speak, we would call it feature-rich site. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on, as you said. There's a lot that you can do on the site. And I think maybe for authors, the challenge is kind of refining, like, hey, what should I be doing on a daily basis, a weekly basis, et cetera. So the recommendation engine that you mentioned, it's an algorithm very much like the algorithm that Netflix uses to recommend movies that you might like based on movies that you've liked in the past. So ours does the same thing with books. And we look at all the books that you've shelved and that you've rated. So let's say that you gave something 4 stars and you put it on a certain shelf. And on that shelf, there are 3 or 4 other books that you also added to that shelf. Well, that tells us quite a bit about how you think those books belong together for some reason. And we look at that across our entire community. So it ends up looking at, you know, about 20 billion different data points, because it's every time somebody shelves a book, every time someone gives it a star rating, what are the other books they shelved on the same shelf with that book? Did they like those books? And it really, we start to gather a lot of intelligence about specific books. And then the goal of the recommendation engine is really to give you surprising recommendations. So we're going to exclude the most popular books, you know, Twilight and Harry Potter and things like that, because we assume you already know other recommendation engines is that you get a lot of recommendations from, you know, authors you're already aware of, which I think are, you know, if you liked an author, I think you probably know when, you know, the next book is coming from that author. So we don't bother with that. We also exclude books on the other end of the spectrum that no one has rated or reviewed, just because we don't know enough about those books to make intelligent guesses about whether you would like them or not. So a book has to get a certain number of ratings. I think that number is somewhere in the like couple hundred sort of range in order to get into the recommendation engine at all. But then we can really start making some interesting connections.
Mm. I saw you speak at a publishing conference and you talked a bit about the bookshelves and putting books on the to read shelf, or getting people to put books on the to read shelf early, almost like a pre-order. So how would that actually feed in, and why would authors use that?
Well, what you want to do there is you that's doing a couple of things. One is, you know, the to read shelf is sort of the first step to getting a review. Most people are going to mark something as, you know, I want to read this before they actually end up reading it and reviewing it. And ultimately, your goal on Goodreads really should be to get reviews. You want people to review your book. You want people to talk about it. That's what fuels discovery. So if I could take a step back, Goodreads is a social network, just like Facebook or Twitter, in the sense that we have a news feed and our members come and look at that first. That's the first thing they see when they come to the site. Every time that somebody takes an action with one of your books, so every time they shelve that book or they mark it as want to read or they write a review of it or they like a quote from it or anything like that, it shows up in the news feed for all of their friends to see. So it's almost like this little mini advertisement that goes out to all their friends, which is tremendous social amplification for that action. And a lot of people, you know, we've done a lot of kind of analysis, and people really discover a lot of books through that feed. I myself personally see a lot of, you know, like I'll see a book come through that someone I know is reading. I'll say, hey, that looks really interesting. And the great thing about it is there's a button right there where I can say, I want to read it. So you're capturing interest there. And, you know, hopefully the interest is, goes beyond just the people who are initially marking it as want to read, and it gets to their friends as well. So the reason you would want to get a bunch of people doing that before publication is twofold. One, it gets, you know, it's one step closer to getting those reviews that are so valuable. And the other thing is it fuels awareness about your book, you know. So right around the time of publication, if I come to Goodreads and, you know, a couple of my friends are talking about that book, they're either reading it or they're writing reviews, or I see that they've marked it as want to read, it makes it seem like a book that people are talking about, that there's a lot of buzz around. And that's kind of what our whole strategy for authors and publishers is about, is sort of generating word of mouth buzz. And it's, you know, we're kind of an engine for both like fueling and contributing to word of mouth buzz.
Okay, so obviously getting reviews are really important, and we'll come back to the kind of the friends thing in a minute. But what are the, if someone is an author is coming new to Goodreads, how would they, you know, start using the site in the most effective way, not to go me, but, you know, what's the best way to start using Goodreads?
Well, the first thing is, you know, before you're an author, you have to have a regular member account anyway. In order to join the author program, you've got to first create a what we call like a Goodreads member reader account. And I think that the biggest mistake that a lot of authors make is they kind of abandon that side of Goodreads when they become an author, and they stop talking about the books that they're reading, and they stop really actively, you know, writing reviews and letting people know their opinions about the books that are important to them. I think that's the biggest thing that you can do is, yeah, of course, you want to get your author profile looking great. You want to add a photo and a bio. And if you're writing a blog, you want to make sure you sync that to your author profile page, you know, because that'll automatically import and go out in the news feed for all of your friends and followers. But the most important thing is just to use it as a reader. And like you were saying, don't be me first. Don't talk about your own book, you know, at least not to begin with. You want to talk about, you know, you want to be contributing useful information to the site and useful, you know, useful content to the kind of the dialogue that's happening on Goodreads. So to do that, you really need to be reviewing books and, you know, engaging people around that. I think that's what, you know, authors are tremendous readers. I mean, they're among the best readers out there. I mean, they have to be in order to be good at their craft. So I think it's a great loss when authors don't take advantage of that aspect of Goodreads and really use it to their best ability.
No, I totally agree. And I've been using it as a kind of list of things that I've read, but now I'm starting to use the to read, like you mentioned, which is really cool. I was going to ask you about the author profile, because I've populated mine, and I wondered if, is there a kind of internal SEO search engine optimization around photos and videos? Because it doesn't seem that much of a image rich site, as in the feed is very small, you know, images. How does photos and videos work, and is that a side you're going to expand?
I don't know that we're going to expand it per se, but, you know, I think we're always looking at, can we improve the visual aspect of the site, and can we improve the user interface so it's really clear, you know, what we want you to be doing and what we think you're going to enjoy the most. In terms of how authors can use it, I think it's really important that you have a great author photo. You'd be surprised how many people join the author program and are actually pretty active but don't have a photo up. And I just think it's, you know, that's the first thing that people are going to see. So you want to make sure you're putting your you know, your best face forward, so to speak, and have a really great photo there that you know, that represents you well. Video, I think, is if you have video content, it's great to add it. It makes your page a little bit, I guess I would call it stickier, right? That when you get to the author page, there's more happening there. So you want to spend a little bit more time there. So you say, well, I'll watch this video. And you can watch the video right there on the author profile page. You don't have to go anywhere else to do it. And it's, you know, again, I'm a big fan of not duplicating effort. Like I was talking before about syncing your blog. If you're writing a blog on WordPress or Blogger, you don't have to then write a second blog on Goodreads. You can just write the one and have it feed directly into Goodreads. The same is really true for video. If you're putting something up on YouTube, it's like a 5-second process to then grab the embed code and add it to Goodreads. So if you're using video anywhere else on the web, it makes great sense to add it to Goodreads as well. And just, again, just populate your author profile and make it a little bit richer, so that page is a place where people want to linger.
I'm just wondering about, just a question popped in my head. Can people do video reviews and link reviews on books?
You could certainly do it. We've seen some, like bloggers or whatever, will do a video review. But the problem is you can't embed a video in the review space. It's not possible. So you could link to a YouTube clip, or you could link back to your author profile page and say, hey, check out my review for this book that I did in video. I think it's a really interesting possibility for the future, you know. I've certainly seen some YouTube channels that feature a lot of kind of video reviews, and they can be really clever and really well done. So, you know, anything that's going to make our community richer and more engaging and more fun for our members is something we'll think about down the road.
Yeah. Okay. So, what about giveaways? Because from the kind of the buzz in the author area, giveaways are kind of the one thing that everybody knows to do on Goodreads. So, right. Can you explain a bit about the giveaway program and who can use that?
So, at the moment, it's the giveaway program is open to any author with a physical book. So, ebooks aren't allowed yet into the program, and I could speak to why in a little bit, but I'll focus first on what's possible. So first, it's free to list a giveaway. There's no charge to the author. There's no charge to the reader to enter. So it's a great low-risk opportunity for someone to try your work for the first time. And the goal of it is, as I mentioned before, to get people, you know, adding the book to their shelves, and you get that social amplification happening, and then also reviewing the book, especially before it comes out. We like to talk about, the kind of crowded restaurant analogy, which is if you're in a city and you're looking at two restaurants, thinking about which one to eat in, and one is really crowded and one is pretty empty, you're probably going to go to the crowded one. And the same is true for books. You want to see, when you go to a book page, a lot of reviews from readers. You want to see that people are reading that book and they're talking about it and they're excited about it. So that's the goal of the giveaway, is to generate that kind of excitement. You can offer as many or as few books as you want. So you could offer a single copy of the book, or you could offer, you know, I think the maximum is something like 100 copies of the book. And you choose how long you want that giveaway to run. I generally recommend about a month. But you could do 2 weeks if you wanted, or 2 months. And you choose which countries you're willing to ship the book to. So if you only have rights in the UK, for instance, you can limit your way to only people in Great Britain and et cetera. So, you know, it's a very flexible program, and it's a very powerful program. I mean, it depending on the territory that you're hoping to reach. So if you're looking at the U.S., that's our largest member base. You know, you're likely to get quite a few people entering your giveaway. So it's a great way for, again, generating that kind of advanced buzz for a book, and hopefully reaching some people who maybe had never heard of you and had never thought of trying your books to begin with. And then obviously you're hoping for all of that. That kind of social benefit of, you know, they're going to talk about it with their friends, they're going to mention it, they're going to review it, etc.
And why are ebooks not included?
Right now, our giveaway program is extremely easy for both the person listing the giveaway, the author or the publisher, and then also for the people entering the giveaway. All they have to do is click enter for a chance to win, and if they win, they get the book in the mail, and it's pretty simple, you know. Ebook giveaways, because of things like DRM, the software that protects books from being copied, and different file formats and different devices, and a general kind of, there are really varying degrees of comfort among readers in terms of how comfortable they are taking a file and getting it onto their reader. Many people just buy straight from the store that their reader has built into it, because that's the easiest way to do it. So until we can provide an ebook giveaway that's as easy as our physical book giveaway and as good of a product as that, we're not going to do it. We're not going to put something out there that we think is confusing or ineffective or really convoluted. So we're always experimenting with things and always looking to improve the site. But at the moment, it's physical books only.
No, I agree. Everything you just said there makes real sense, but people just don't realize.
Yeah.
One thing that was really helpful that you also showed me was on your book page, people can review different editions of the book, and then you can combine the editions, which combines the reviews. I don't think many people know about that either.
Yeah, so ideally, every book on Goodreads should only really have one big record. And in that record should be every edition of it. So the hardcover edition, the paperback edition, the ebook edition, the audiobook, if there are editions in foreign languages or different countries, those should all be combined into one edition. And then the reader can choose which one they have. And it's really important to us that our members be able to shelve the exact edition that they have. So if they have an old paperback with an old cover, we want them to be able to have that exact edition that they can put on their shelves, because this is their online library. You know, it's a representation of the books that they've read, and we want it to be as precise as possible. So if you're an author and you see that your book is listed two or three times on your author profile page, that's a problem. We should combine those for you. So you should just email us at support@goodreads.com and we can take care of that pretty quickly. That's a pretty common thing. But yeah, the benefit is if you've got, you know, 25 reviews on one edition and 100 reviews on the other, you suddenly have 125 reviews. So it's a great thing. You definitely want those combined. And it just makes your author profile look a little bit cleaner and a little bit easier for people to digest. They don't have to figure out like, hey, is that a different version of that same book, or what's the editions are combined?
No, fantastic. And on reviews, it's kind of well known that Kobo takes a feed from Goodreads and that Kobo's reviews are Goodreads reviews. But now, of course, you've been bought by Amazon, and I know it's an arm's length relationship. But is there any indications about how reviews are used across other sites? Is there anything you can tell us about that?
Well, I can't speak too much to what's going on within other companies. I don't know like what Kobo's strategy is or anything like that. I do think that I checked their site a while ago and I didn't see Goodreads reviews. So I don't know if that was just a fluke of which book page I was on or if they've stopped taking that feed. I'd have to do some internal checking whether they were still using our API. But in general, our API is a free resource for people who want to syndicate reviews to their site. So a great example of that are actually authors, right? Authors will use our review widget to show off, you know, the best reviews of their book on Goodreads. And that's an activity that we're really encouraging authors and publishers to take part in. And I know of a lot of publishers who are also starting to integrate Goodreads reviews into their websites as well. So I think the specifics of which sites are doing it, I'm not completely clear on that, but it's going to continue to be something we offer. We really feel like our reviews are the best out there, and you know, they're an asset to our company, and they help us be known as a place where people are talking about books and where people are passionate about books. So we want people to continue to use those.
So one of the other things that's interesting, and again, because I'm only just getting back into Goodreads, so I have quite a lot of friends that I've accumulated over the years. And I guess all I do is just go and accept all the friends that ask me, but I don't really do much else than that. What is the purpose? And it sounds terrible, but on Twitter, you know, there's a reason for followers. On Facebook, there's kind of a way you do friends. What is the way you do friends on Goodreads? And is it like Facebook, like Twitter? How would we do that?
It's very similar to how people use Facebook or Twitter. The idea is you're going to post content. So that could be a review of a book or the fact that you want to read a book or something like that. And then your friends will see that and hopefully kind of engage with you around that and have a little discussion about it. You can also use it much more explicitly, just like you use Facebook and Twitter, and post what we call like a general status update that's not related to a specific book. So let's say that you got a really great review in Romantic Times or something like that, and you wanted to talk about that. Or, your book is being translated into a language that, you know, you're excited about that and you want to mention it. You can easily just write a little, you know, an update just like you would on Facebook or Twitter with a link in it to the article or whatever it is linking to, and post that. And that'll go out in the newsfeed to your friends and your followers. If you're an author, I think the best relationship to focus on Goodreads is the follower relationship. And I think in the future, we're going to probably put a little more emphasis on that and a little less on adding friends, only because it scales much better, right? So if you end up with 25,000 friends and they can all send you a direct message and, you know, you can kind of go, you know, the engagement there is much richer because you have to keep up your side of it as well. Followers scales infinitely, as we've seen on Twitter, right? That somebody like, Oprah or an actor or something can have 20 million followers, and they can manage that because they just post information and the followers kind of engage with it as they see fit, and they can kind of dip in if they want to and reply to something or not, you know, and it's very clear. We're really moving towards the same kind of structure for authors. So I think if you're looking to do something, you want people to kind of follow you on Goodreads and know that that's a place where they can get information from you. If they choose to be your friend and you want to accept that friendship, that's great too. You know, it's just keep in mind that there's probably a little bit more work that goes into that, because they can send you, in that case, they can send you private messages, and, you know, there's a little more of an expectation that you'll engage them in a one-on-one kind of way.
Mm, yeah, and I found that one of the very cool things about the friends is you can do like a little Venn diagram of how your book interests relate.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, as a reader, I think that's like, that's how most people as readers are using it, is they're adding people who, they think read kind of cool books that they want to talk about, or people, maybe even people who read books that they've never heard of, because they're like, hey, this is a great way to discover new stuff. So yeah, people will add them as friends. And then you can see, like you mentioned, you can see an overlap of, what books you've had and what books you've read in common and where you agree and where you disagree. It's a really cool feature. And I think it's one of the more popular ones on the site.
Mm, it is. And I've actually been using, I don't know if this is a good thing, I've been using that to see who's got my books on their to read list, and then emailing them and saying, would you like a review copy?
Right.
So that's kind of only if they have similar interests to me. So
yeah, I mean, I think it's great that you're focusing on, you're trying to do a really focused approach to that. I think the thing I would caution you against is, we try we've got a site with 20 million plus readers, and authors are an important part of that site, but they're a smaller part, and they're a part that needs to fit in just right. So we're always kind of encouraging authors, yes, you want to engage, but you want to be doing it kind of, in a way that readers really like. And direct messages, private messages, it's risky. So you want to make sure that you're being very careful and judicious about what you're doing there. But it sounds to me like you're taking a good approach. You're focusing on people you really think are your kind of reader. Mm. And I would just think about ways that you could reach them through things like giveaways and, sort of posting to your feed rather than kind of a direct outreach sort of thing.
Okay. No, that's great. And what about groups? Because groups at the moment, I'm kind of, oh my goodness, it seems quite crazy and more like a forum, more kind of, it seems difficult to manage for me to, I don't know how to use a group. Can you give some advice as to what the groups are for and how we should use groups?
Yeah, groups on Goodreads are, many of them function very much like a book club. In fact, that's kind of the origins of the feature, is that we wanted a place where people could kind of have an online book club and have a discussion about what they were reading. And there are some groups that meet in the real world or in the physical world where they use Goodreads to kind of organize what they're going to read. And there's like a feature where you can run a poll. So you could say, what book do you most want to read next? And people can vote on it. Broader groups are just a really great place to meet readers. And that's how I think authors should think of it. You want to be, join groups that are interesting to you and to the kind of, not only the kind of books that you write, but also, again, back to using the site as a reader, kind of books that you read. So if you're an author who writes paranormal romance, you probably read a lot of paranormal romance. I would at least assume they do. So you want to join those groups, and then, the first thing you do should not be talking about your book. It should be talking about other books in that genre that you're really passionate about or that you're excited about. And again, it comes back to always being someone who's contributing really terrific content and really terrific information to a discussion, not someone who's there just doing the hard sell. So I think groups are, the first thing to think about is, like with any kind of online community, you can start by lurking. So you can join the group and not necessarily contribute right away. In fact, I think that's a great thing to do because it gives you a sense of how the group works and what kind of discussions they have and, what the rules of the group are. It's really important to check the rules of the group before you join, especially if you're an author, because often they'll have kind of guidelines about how they want authors to interact with them or not interact with them in that group. So check the guidelines or check the group rules, and then kind of hang out for a while and just see what they talk about. And then when you find an entry into that discussion, you can jump in and you can say, hey, I read that book too, and I thought this character was really interesting, etc. And then all of a sudden you're a contributing member of that group and people are getting to know you and they're becoming friends with you. It's a natural extension that they should then, start to check out your books. And mm-hmm. So it's a great way to kind of build a following on Goodreads. And it's, it's a way to form some deeper relationships with some of our members. And many of the sort of most influential or most kind of power members of the site are very active in groups. So it's also a great place to meet them.
Yeah, so there are so many things, we've talked about. What would you kind of just recap everything that an author should probably do?
Sure. I think the important thing is you want to start early in everything you're doing. So as soon as you know you've got a book coming out, Whether you're putting that book out yourself or whether you're working with a publisher on that, you want to make sure the book is listed on Goodreads. So if it's not already there, you can manually add it. It's pretty easy to do that. Just search for the book. And if it doesn't come up, there's a big button that says, you know, add this book. After you do that, I think it's great to then set up your author profile. And then at that point, you want to make sure that you're making that, again, look really great, adding a good photo, a bio, links to your website, Facebook, Twitter, wherever other people, you know, other places where people can find you. And then add your blog, because that's going to be the easiest way to start updating people on Goodreads about what's going on with you. We talked repeatedly today about using the site as a reader, and I think that's just really great advice. It's it's something that, you know, there are even really great, very established best-selling authors who write, I think, really compelling reviews. And it makes me even more, it makes me want to read their books, because it tells me so much about what they're like as a writer, based on what they read and what they think of those books. Groups are a terrific place to meet people. It's much better than just simply sort of picking people at random and adding them as friends. That's an activity I definitely don't recommend. So groups are a place where you're on much more even footing, and you can kind of, you can contribute to the conversation and then let people kind of find you that way. And then the giveaway. If you have a physical book, I think the giveaway is an absolute must. And you want to, if it's possible for you to do it, you want to be running that giveaway before publication, so you get that social amplification and that buzz. But most of all, you get those reviews on the book page on the day the book comes out. So that's kind of my like quick and easy approach to using Goodreads. And then it's, you know, see what's entertaining to you. I mean, we haven't talked much about Listopia, which is our sort of collection of lists that are owned by the community. So they have those, you know, list of the best books ever and the best books of the 20th century. And then, you know, very specific books about, you know, I like books that take place on campuses. And there's a whole list of books that take place on campuses, and people can vote for their favorites. So, you know, check out that feature and see if there's lists there that you think are really interesting, and vote for your favorite books on there. It's such a feature-rich site, and there's so much going on that, you know, you've got to kind of want to play around with it a little bit. That's not to say that we're not always thinking about how can we make this much easier for authors and for members. You know, I mean, that's something we're constantly constantly focused on here. Mm. So
I must say, I got trapped in the ever-running book quiz.
Yes.
It just keeps asking you questions about books, and you're like, oh, I know that. And I was like, 25 minutes later, I'm still answering questions.
Yeah. And it will never end. So you have to be careful to get out of there at some point. So.
It was a lot of fun. It's really a site for book geeks, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's what the site is. It's just a big playground for people who love to read and want to talk about that. So, you know, as an author, why wouldn't you want to be on that site? You know?
Exactly. So where can people find Goodreads? And I guess you, and I know you've got some stuff on SlideShare and stuff like that. How can people find you and that online?
Yeah, Goodreads is just goodreads.com. If you're interested in the author program, the best page to go to is goodreads.com/author/program. It's pretty easy to remember. And there's a lot of information there about what the author program offers, as well as how to sign up. And then once you sign up, we give you some tutorials and help information and things like that. There's also, you mentioned our presentations. Our SlideShare account has a lot of really great presentations we've given over the past couple years at conferences. And that's just, I believe it's slideshare.net/Goodreads presentations, something like that. And it's, if you Google Goodreads presentations, I think that'll come up. So yeah, I definitely recommend checking it out. Some of the presentations are more geared towards publishers or more geared towards libraries, but there are a few there that are really specifically for authors. So definitely take a look at those.
Thanks so much for your time, Patrick. That was brilliant.
Thank you, Joanna. It was my pleasure.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes at thecreativepen.com/podcasts. You can also get your free Author 2.0 blueprint at thecreativepen.com/blueprint. If you'd like to connect, you can tweet me at thecreativepen or find me on Facebook at The Creative Pen. See you next time.